In a world with so many questions.
Why am I here? What am I doing? What's with all these birds?
A world where there is need for more than just one space.
I wish there was more than just one space.
Kevin Weir and Jeremy Verkley bring you the third space.
Mac and cheese way better than Kraft Dinner?
No, I like my thing's Kraft Dinner. I like Kraft
really?
Dinner.
Because I love the President's Choice white cheddar one.
I don't know if I've ever had the President's Choice one.
You know what? Maybe if I remember, I'll bring you a box. Because they're way
This is my gift to you.
They're way cheaper than like Kraft Dinner. And in my opinion, it's higher quality.
I think that one I actually got for free. Like my parents were like, this is what you eat. Like,
thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
My parents sometimes tend to worry that I don't eat right.
Yeah.
But then they give me Kraft Dinner and just chicken strips. Like, this is the food you eat. It's yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I got snap peas too.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have some snap peas and
yeah, I started buying yogurt and granola so I can have that for breakfast. And you know what? I think so long as I'm having Greek yogurt with honey in it
yeah.
and like a good granola, yeah. I'm fine with it.
I spent a good, I want to say like a few months, maybe like five, like half a year
yeah.
trying to get into yogurt. I'm like, I really, really wish that I liked yogurt.
Yeah.
So I tried all the different kinds of yogurt. I tried Greek yogurt. I tried Greek yogurt with honey in it. I tried just the blandest normal yogurt. I try all the flavored yogurts. And like, I just
don't like it.
Don't like yogurt.
Here's the thing. I don't really like yogurt either. And I have found two brands now that I am okay with.
All right.
Crema, which is pretty rare to find in stores.
Crema.
But the way I found it is actually by working in the Jubilation's kitchen. That's the yogurt they use to make their tzatziki.
Okay.
So that was one, and now the President's Choice brand one I've just tried.
Yeah.
And it's not as good as Crema, but it's not gross.
The problem that I always have when trying to find foods, and like especially what I was having with yogurt, is that I'm actually very bad at picking out tastes.
Yeah.
Like, understanding why I don't like the taste of something. Like, I don't actually know. Like, I feel like I should sit down and eat things that are tart, and eat things that are bitter, and eat things that are sour.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what any of those words actually mean.
Yeah.
So when I was trying to describe, like, trying to get a yogurt that I liked, I'm like, I don't know. I don't like how yogurt tastes like yogurt. Well, what taste is it you don't like? Is it too tart?
Is it that, like, is it that, like, weird, like, you have the yogurt and you put it in your mouth and then you have the initial taste and then it's, like, an aftertaste?
It's that aftertaste, yeah.
No, I hate that, too.
Yeah, it's the aftertaste. Like, if just kept going in, like, the first thing is
fine.
Are
we recording right now?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
It's the first thing that goes in, that's fine. But, yeah, it's the aftertaste of yogurt.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. If you can find Crema, try it.
Crema, okay. Is that with a K or a C?
It's a K.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'll look for Crema.
Kevin, do we have any questions from listeners?
We have no specific question, though. We do keep on – I do keep on getting told by my sister that we're constantly wrong about the Crucible.
That's perfect.
We still don't know about the Crucible.
I'm so happy that she's busting your balls on it.
She is so upset how little we know about the Crucible. I have never met someone – who is so invested in us being correct about what happens in The Crucible.
Tell you what. You know what? In that podcast, I told people to stop and go read The Crucible. So,
maybe we should stop and go read The Crucible.
Maybe. Again? I don't know. I don't got time for that shit.
I got like, you know, adult things to do.
Yeah, like make a podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Look at adults.
That is an adult thing.
Children can't do this.
No.
Look at all these computers and stuff and microphones.
Yeah.
Child can't do this.
And there's definitely not a huge mess all around us. We definitely cleaned up.
Yeah, yeah.
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 Okay, well, if we don't have any questions, I'm going to introduce a new segment.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I want to, let's do shout outs.
All right.
And things or people that are deserving of happiness and love.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to throw a shout out to Marta, who I know is not having the best time, but you live in a sweet place and you're a sweet lady.
Yeah, Marta, with all this vagueness.
Yeah.
I know that you understand what's going on, and it's all that really matters.
Yeah.
For everyone else out there, you know, I think the same thing applies to everyone. I think we give the shout out to everybody. I know you're going through a hard time, but you live in a cool place.
Yeah, you live in a cool place.
Yeah.
So I think if you don't have any questions for us, but you want us to give us a shout out like that to somebody, let us know.
Yeah, we'll give shout outs.
Not in person, though.
No, online.
Through the World Wide Web.
Through the widest of the world webs.
Yes.
We'll do anything. Get your name said on a podcast.
Yeah.
That's what everyone's dreams.
That's what everyone wants.
Most adult of all things.
I'll say your name and I'll probably say it right.
You said Marta?
Yeah.
Like with a T or a D?
With a T.
Marta is the name of a character in a book I'm writing.
Marta is a name of the character in the book that I've written.
Why did we pick Marta?
I don't know.
Why did we decide Marta was the
name? Why did that one time I almost say Gwen Stefani, instead I said Gwen Safety, and you knew I was thinking Gwen Stefani. Why, Kevin?
We need to stop hanging out. Because names have become one to us.
Yeah, that's right. Do we have a topic today, Kevin?
We do have a topic today, which is really good because we already pressed record.
Yeah.
It'd be really bad if we didn't have a topic. Now, the topic today is, you know that TV show, that awesome one where it's just the computer-generated characters and they're in a computer and they surf through the computer and one of them's name is Bob.
Oh, Reboot.
Yeah, Reboot.
Yeah, I know that show.
Yeah. Well, in Reboot.
And Megabyte.
Megabyte, yeah, and that.
The most metal villain ever.
With his jaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, that jaw.
He has a megabyte.
What was the name of the female villain who also sometimes was a good person?
Oh, crap. I can't remember.
Because she was like spider-like.
Yeah, I want to...
My biggest memory of Reboot... Because
there's Dot, there's Enzo.
Dot, Enzo, Bob.
Megabyte.
Megabyte. There's a TV.
Yeah, Mike the TV.
And then there's her.
Yeah, no. I have the image in my head, but totally forget.
I feel like her name was just they took a computer name and feminized it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They definitely did.
Yeah. And then at some point, Enzo became badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he did.
He got stuck in a game, which is... Our topic is if the games from Reboot existed in the real world.
Yes. Now, I'm trying to remember Reboot. I'm trying to remember the reason that they go in the games is because they have to.
Yes.
Yeah. They have to beat the user.
Yeah. Well, they have to complete the game.
Yes. And or else the world's destroyed?
Yeah, I think so. Or else it's like bad news for whatever place they're in.
Yeah. Like, I think it lands on an area, and if the user... And
oh, no, wait. I think this is the way it works, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. I think the game comes down, and doesn't everything in that sector shut down until the game's gone?
Well, it doesn't matter if it shuts down, because it just lands as a cube over that area. Remember the big thing is they have to get there before it's done. And Bob's job is to finish the games.
Yeah.
And sometimes Enzo sneaks in.
You mean every time Enzo sneaks in?
Every time Enzo sneaks in.
And so does Dot?
Yeah. And, yeah, I just remember what happened. I know our big thing is no research, but I think I actually have to look up what happens when the... Because that seems very important.
Well, also, the other repercussion, you look it up.
Yeah.
The other repercussion that we know is that if somebody does not, like, beat the game, everyone who's in that is either dead or gets trapped in the game like Enzo.
Yeah, but there has to be a reason why they don't just avoid them.
Because there's a bunch of game episodes in Reboot where, like, Mike the TV or some citizens are trapped in the game and they have to beat the game to save those citizens.
Yeah, but the ones you can't get in the game when it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. The series follows the adventures of a guardian named Bob and his companions Enzo and Dot Matrix as they work to keep the computer system of Mainframe safe from the viruses known as Megabyte and Hexadecimal.
Hexadecimal. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those reboot movies are totally dope, too.
A sequel series reboot, The Guardian Code, is in production as of 2015.
What?
What?
What? I didn't know we were being topical. Does it explain how the games work?
I'm looking.
You know, maybe the series never explains it.
It has to.
I don't know if it has to. I mean, they never explain the user, not even in the movies, where Bob's all silvery and shit.
What it says is, when the user loads a GameCube drops on a random location in Mainframe, sealing it off from the rest of the system and turning it into a gamescape. Bob frequently enters the games, reboots to become a game character, and fights the user's character to save the sector. If the user wins the game, the sector the cube fell on is destroyed.
Yeah, okay.
And the sprites and binomes who are caught within are turned into energy-draining, worm-like parasites called nulls. When this happens, they are said to be nullified.
Holy shit, that's super dark.
Yeah. So the idea
yeah.
is the cube drops, and if the user wins... Okay, I was actually... Something I was thinking about... Is this supposed to be like a Tron system where this... Like, we're seeing the inside of a computer system?
Kind
and
of.
Is the user us?
It's kind of a weird, like, metaphor. Because if you go into the Reboot Extended Universe with the movies and stuff... Right?
The one where Boba Fett's alive.
Yeah. So, Mainframe is one computer, right?
Yes.
But there are a bunch of mainframes all over the place, and they're connected by the net.
Yeah, which is what Hardcore Enzo and that Silver Surfer goes through.
Right. The games come from the net.
Yes.
And so do viruses and other harmful things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where the metaphor kind of falls apart.
Well,
the user is a metaphor for God.
Yes. But is the user supposed to be like us playing World of Warcraft?
Yeah, I think so.
So we're the villains in Reboot.
No, see, we're not the villains. Do you know why?
Why?
Because we are beyond their understanding.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
We're a sort of uncaring God.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're an uncaring God.
We're an uncaring God.
I like the way that it works is that... If us, the players, play the game and win, we're like, yeah, I won. All those people are dead.
Yep.
Yeah. That entire area is destroyed.
Destroyed.
So if they're on like the Mainframe for like a super hardcore esports gamer,
yeah,
that is just the apocalypse.
It's,
it's not even good to go into the games. It's like, oh, yeah, they'll just kill us. Every time one of those things
everyone
drops.
Just go to one of the sectors that isn't destroyed yet.
Till the game comes down.
Run away.
Well, we're lucky. All he wants to do is play League of Legends, just comes down to the same spot. That's what I imagine. I imagine that like the different games coming down in different spots.
I think it's pretty much randomized no matter what the game is.
Oh, just there's one spot that's the League of Legends spot. I'm just getting battered.
Yeah. But we're not talking about how it works in Reboot. We're talking about what would happen in the real world.
Yes. Okay. So in this world...
Giant purple iridescent cubes fall from the sky, from the heavens.
And if you go in and if those are not defeated, whatever the user is not... Like, you don't win that game.
Yeah.
That area is destroyed.
Yeah. Just, it's scorched earth.
Okay.
But I think we can't go with sector. I think we have to go with just that, like, cube of soil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when you look up on farmland from above.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where we lost the game of 82.
can't grow anything there, though. It's pretty sweet for doing some skate park tricks.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, it wouldn't be the end of the world. It'd be like, you can't farm here, but it's not like you couldn't build on it.
Yeah, I know, you'd have...
Or pave it over.
Yeah, skate parks. You have sweet skate parks
for
Enzo. Or just strip mine it.
Enzo doesn't exist in this world.
there's a dude named Enzo. Oh, okay, he runs the corner store.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta tell me how this world is made. Yeah. We both tell each other how this world
That's
is
true.
Made.
That's true.
So I think the clearest thing, the most the thing that we should probably address first is that there will be people whose entire jobs are to go into the cubes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But yeah. Here's the other thing. They don't have the reboot button.
They don't?
No, they can't. Just the games exist.
Okay, so they have to go in fully prepared. Because the reboot button like turns them into a game character and it gives them like, now I have a sword.
Yeah, no.
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 Well, they just come in with fully auto-weaponry.
This is both an advantage and a disadvantage. Because it's like, okay, if you're in a fantasy game and you have an AK-47 with you, you're just going to murder everything. It'll be great.
So I know it's different, but I like the idea that, you know, you're playing, I don't know, Fable.
Yeah.
And then a squad of Marines come in and start shooting you down. You're like,
yeah.
This doesn't seem within the spirit of the game.
Shit.
What is this?
Yeah, but on the other hand.
Yeah.
If it's underwater and you have an AK-47, that shit is not going to work.
No.
So also, you don't have a scuba tank.
So you pretty much have to be prepared for anything.
Yeah.
Well, the big thing that I'm thinking about is that they don't get that much of a warning when it comes down.
No.
Like, essentially, it comes down, Bob gets out, rushes towards it.
Yeah.
Enzo hops on his skateboard.
Well, I mean, really, the concept only really works because Mainframe is a secluded system, right?
Yes.
And it's not that big.
So, how many games do you think drop? Like for them, it drops once an episode.
Once an episode,
which we have no idea how the time between them.
Yeah, I think let's say it's either once every week or once every month.
I do remember some ones where it began and the game had just ended.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's once a week. I think there's more than what we see.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you think it's a regular occurrence?
I think it's a pretty regular occurrence. So we're talking about an entire planet.
Yeah.
Does just one drop at a time? Or are we talking about like...
Let's say one at a time, because that makes it less apocalyptic.
Still pretty damn apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Well, so you have these one thing drop at some time on the planet.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll just drop like what? In the middle of the Atlantic Ocean? It'll be like, oh, I guess that part of the ocean's now dead.
Well, I mean, it would go all the way down. Yeah, to the ocean down to the floor.
I mean, it could just catch the boat.
Yeah,
because sometimes you would just get like random people.
I mean, they appear in the sky, so there'd be an airplane at some point. Like statistically, eventually, it would happen.
There'd be an airplane.
Yeah.
What happens if you're half in and half out? Is that ever shown?
You're fucked.
Just straight up fuck.
Yeah, half of you is in a gamescape and the other half is in the real world. Guess what happens when half of you is not there, Kevin?
I guess you die.
Yeah, you die pretty damn quick.
Which means that if you're in like a plane and one of those things is going down, you have the option and you're like going to be bisected. Like either I go in or I go out. Which one will I make it? Because going halfway
you go in.
You go in?
I think so. Here's the thing. If you go in and you're in the airplane.
Yeah.
Right? When the game is over, you're on the ground and you didn't have to deal with the fall.
Okay, fair enough.
Right? Whereas if you're in an airplane and you're out, half of that part of that plane's now gone. You are falling and crashing.
Well, no, here's the thing. You said that you go in, you don't have the reboot button. Wouldn't you go in as a plane? So there'd just be a plane?
Yeah, but you're saying that, like, this plane doesn't get all the way through because someone could be half in or half out and has the choice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you have the choice, go in because otherwise it's cutting the plane.
Well, yeah, but if you go in and you lose the game...
Yeah. Well, then you're dead anyway.
You're nullified.
Yeah, you're nullified.
Which, I guess, turns you into some sort of monster.
Yeah.
Some sort of horrible aberration against nature, which there will have to be other people who need to kill.
Yeah, who deal with those.
So, I mean, we're really just talking about we just made some sort of horrible anime world.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. There will be no real systems of government because everyone's life revolves around these things dropping from the sky.
Yep.
You yourself need to be ready if you get caught in one accidentally to defend yourself and fight.
Yeah, I think it would be a situation where it's like every single child, once they're of like the age of 15 or 16, has to go through like 2 years of military training just to prepare them in case a game falls on them. I mean, can you imagine if somebody's just sleeping and a game falls on them?
Well... Yeah, that'll be
you
horrible.
You wake up and it's like, ah, yes, Sir Arthur, I see you've arrived at your castle. And they'd be like, oh, fuck, not again.
Not again? there will be BuzzFeed articles on, like, this man's been chopped in 3 games.
Yeah, and survived all of them. He's John McClane.
Movies would be a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There'd be a bunch of movies about people with loved ones on the inside of a game trying to help them from the, like, outside.
Yeah. There'll be a lot of, like, game-based ones.
Yeah.
For people who have never been in a game, who'd be like, I actually was in a game.
Oh, man. That, you know what it would really mean?
What?
Everybody's house would have a game kit in it.
Yeah.
So, like, if your house gets dropped, all you have to do before, like, if you know you can't escape the game,
yeah,
you have to get to your game kit and have it on you so it doesn't get transformed to the rest of the gamescape.
Sorry, game kit? I thought I knew what you meant. I thought you meant like a go bag.
Yeah, like an emergency earthquake kit.
Yeah.
It'd be like that, but for games falling from the sky.
Okay, so it was what I thought it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You keep it in your house for if your house gets, you know,
yeah,
nullified. But the big thing is that no matter, like, if you get trapped into one of these, you shouldn't really just sit around and hope for the best.
No.
Because once you're inside, you are on a side.
Yeah.
You have to help. You have to win the game. Like, you don't have the option of being like,
and this is the other, the secret option, the Enzo option, if you will. You seduce a female NPC, and then she takes you with her when the game leaves.
That was how that worked, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, they had the fighting game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had the game, and then Enzo went with the NPC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which,
that's weird. That's weird. That
it is weird. It's very weird. It's very weird. And gets thrown into the net,
and then comes back burlier and stronger with one gold eye
from the future.
From the future.
Yeah.
How many times did that happen in our world? Someone's like, "All right, I'll just seduce this NPC."
Here's the thing. That is a secret, right?
Yeah, this is a secret.
Like,
it's a secret.
People might discover it over time, but, I mean, that's a pretty hard thing to discover.
It also have to be pretty good at seducing NPCs.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, Enzo was a kid, so it was like puppy love.
Aw.
Yeah.
And then he became a man.
And he was a man.
I just can't get over how much, like that show, which was a children's show, had a moment where Bob died.
Yep.
Or he was taken by the game.
No, Bob died. Enzo was taken by the game.
Well, no, but remember Enzo was trying to find Bob. That was his big thing, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
He was trying to find home? Because Bob comes back at some point, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he comes back, but Bob dies, I remember.
So it is in the game, or in the show, Bob is dead. Enzo's trying to find his way home?
Yes.
So he's quantum leaping.
Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Going from game to game, hoping the next leap brings him home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Scott Bakula as Enzo would be amazing.
But you mean modern day Scott Bakula, old Scott Bakula.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
All right,
so CG'd up.
So we got old Bakula CG'd up with the golden eye.
Yeah.
And just his face on just a burly body.
Yeah, a green burly body.
Green burly body. Well, like more like teal.
So there would be people whose jobs were to deal with these games.
Yeah, like, and but they'd be stationed all over the place.
Yeah, they have to be stationed all over the place, but there would be games that they just couldn't reach.
Yes. And if no one's in there,
yeah,
then I mean, it's fine. Like, if one falls down in the middle of the wilderness and there's only animals in there, then you just have to deal with those horribly mutated animals.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless the animals defeat the user.
Yeah, which, you know,
I mean, a bear.
I've met some users.
And I've met some bears.
Yep. Yep.
Holy shit, there's a bear!
It's like a Teletubbies video game and there's a bear in there just mauling everybody.
Just tears Winky apart. Oh no, oh gosh, I remember the name of the Teletubbies. All I know is Winky.
You know what, though? People would believe in extraterrestrials a lot more than they do now.
Oh yeah, because they're 100% fucking with us.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily extraterrestrials, but there are sentient beings in these games.
Yeah.
Right? There are NPCs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're fully sentient. So where do they come from? Which would be a huge question.
Where do they come from?
Also, there'd be like laser network set up to see if you could shoot down the games as they fell from space.
Pew, pew, pew.
People would fire nuclear weapons at them.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You're thinking of if they just started. If they've been around forever, we would have known that for a long time. Like, since, I guess, like, as new weapons are invented.
Yeah, people would keep shooting them.
Keep trying to figure out how to stop these
dudes. Just stop this thing from happening?
there would definitely be a religion around it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, where they drop is like, oh, this was decided by the great cube.
By the user.
All hail the cube. Well, no, they say user because that's you know, computer
term.
That's
the metaphor. But, yeah.
They would just be like, the great cube. The cube comes down upon us.
The god of cubes has delivered unto us a new cube.
All hail the cube. All hail the cube.
I have a question for you, Kevin. Would they call these cubes Thunderdomes?
I mean, someone would.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would. And they'd definitely be thrill seekers. Like tornado chasers.
Oh, yeah. There would be people who are like, it's a game. I got to get into that game.
Yeah, I'm going to save the world. Woo! And then you do a kickflip.
But that's the people who take that job.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll call them game chasers.
Yeah, game chasers. So in this world, you have the game chasers who are chasing down the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably also have the game chasers who just want to get to where the game is and, like, research the outside of the cube.
Oh, yeah. There'd be scientists about
it. Yeah, yeah. Trying to break their way in.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, yeah. You know, it wouldn't work.
You know, the game would drop and there'd be visuals.
Would these look low? Would these
like, people
also
would
look
gather
low
around the cube and be like, oh, no.
Would these cubes still look as low polygon as they do in Reboot?
I mean, the cubes would, but the games would be super realistic.
Yeah. Wait, just a hyper-realistic person in a low-polygon game?
No, like, the thing is, it's when the cubes drop in the Reboot world, it has the same fidelity as that world.
Yes, it does.
So we have to assume it would have the same fidelity as this world.
My favorite story about Reboot is the fact that the reason that they made that story, that kind of game, in a computer is because that was the limitations of, like, the tech they had. It's like, it will look like this, so let's just lean into it.
Yeah.
Which in some way, I'm like, that's super cool.
Yeah.
That you're like we have this CGI animation, rather than making something else and being like, oh, they look like that. It's in a computer system. Of course they look like that.
Ha-ha.
It's like Tron.
Wink.
I don't know why the creative Reboot keeps winking at me.
Wink.
Wink.
Can you stop doing that and just pitch the show?
Wink. Stop it. Stop it. Everyone will think it's clever. Wink. Double wink.
That's a blank.
No, I did them off time.
You know how you know it's double? Because that has a B at the beginning, so it's like bye. That means two.
Okay.
Blank.
All right.
Blank.
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 Blank. I get it. That's
Sega,
a good one.
Sega, you guys.
Okay.
So we have a religion around this. We have scientists, and we have the people who go into games to try and stop it.
Yeah.
But what about the social repercussions?
Well,
like, I think a game would drop, and the thing is, games would have different lengths.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're different trials, basically. So there'd be, like, vigils around these glowing iridescent purple cubes, and, like, almost like a holiday, I think, would happen in the area around where one of these dropped.
Yeah, just for that local area.
Yeah.
Because we said that only one drops on the planet at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so when that one drops, which it might be once a week, it might be... I don't think it's regular because they're always, like, shocked when it happens.
Yeah, it's a random occurrence.
Yeah, it's random, but it happens frequently.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So when it drops, people gather around. Maybe you try to convince your boss. No, my cousin's in the game. I gotta take today off. Use that excuse every time a game drops.
I can't reach my cousin. I think he's in the game.
You're at the mall, aren't you?
No.
No.
No. Hey, man, I got these basketball shoes for you. Shut up, man. I'm talking to my boss. You want red or blue? Shut up!
Man, this sports check guy's a dick. I mean, this game guy who's around the game where I am at the game. I'm watching the game.
Why are you trying to sell me shoes, game man?
I gotta hang up now.
Beep.
I like to imagine someone who's really dumb, just like, yeah, I'm about to be in the game. Oh, no! I'll be in on Monday.
Yeah.
See you on Monday.
Yeah. There'd also have to be systems of restitution.
Like insurance?
Yeah. I don't know if it'd be insurance or some form of welfare.
Oh, there's
right?
some sort of game insurance, 100%.
I think I don't know if it'd fall in insurance or welfare, though. Right? Because it's like, okay, let's say there's a family unit. and it's a traditional, yes, I put air quotes around that, family unit. Yeah. So guy does the work, woman is at home raising the family, two kids, whatever.
Yeah.
Pretty.
It's the 50s.
Yeah, it's the 50s.
These are going down.
It's
the 50s. These are popping down in the 50s.
So what happens if a game drops on the bread maker, on the money maker of the family?
Yeah, he's a baker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bread baker money maker.
I don't know why they made me laugh so much, but
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. And then they don't beat the user, so that bread maker dies.
Well, but I mean,
like that family is up shit creek now.
But I mean, that's the same thing if that would be life insurance.
Yeah.
Because
I guess that's life insurance, yeah.
Yeah, but here's the question, though. What if you have the thing where it's like, we had life insurance, but we didn't have a game policy?
Yeah.
We were not covered for active game.
Did not.
No, sorry. Active cube.
Active cube.
We're not covered for active cube.
Yeah.
Because that's the same thing if, like, the bread maker.
I know what the religion would be called.
What?
Cubism.
and do you know what that style of art would be called? Christianity. Cube.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Cubist, I was going to say, but...
No.
Shut up,
Jer. I switched the names. It was funny.
Yeah, it was a joke.
No, you shut up. I made a funny joke.
Sega.
No, that would be the same thing if the bread maker was, like, hit by a car or something.
Yeah,
but once again, there are policies. There are different bits of insurance. I know from watching, you know, dramas.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean... Not a lot of people know this about me, but I sold life insurance for a while, and the whole policy and like financial side of insurance is mind boggling.
Well, my favorite thing, a comedian actually, I'm stealing this from a comedian, so don't think I'm funny. But
boo. The funniest thing about
funniest thing about life insurance is that literally it's the insurance salesman being like, hey. I bet you won't die. And the other person being like, I bet I will.
Well, I mean, there's one side of that bet that's going to win.
Well, yeah, but usually life insurance policy, like you have
accidental life insurance usually, life insurance usually lasts, unless you're only getting it for a small period. If you get like full term life insurance, it usually lasts till you're 85 plus.
Yeah, yeah.
So
at which point they're like, you should be dead. No one would take those odds.
Well, at that point, usually, unless it depends on the type of life insurance.
In the casino
you have.
Of the Reaper, no one takes the odds of anyone over 85.
Yeah. Well, then, I mean, nobody's going to take the odds over 70 either. But what happens is if you just have life insurance and you've been paying dues over and over,
yeah.
Your life insurance ends at that point.
But if
you've been treating it as like an investment account and you give it to the life insurance company and they invest it, then technically that money is still yours even though you're older.
Jeremy, I have a question.
Yeah.
Is this funny?
No.
No? No?
I mean, it might be funny that I know so much about it in an ironic kind of way.
I'm glad we took that diatribe into...
Life insurance?
Life insurance. You know, we like to be a little bit educational to our viewers. I don't know if you know this, but
The Crucible.
I don't know if you know this, but our demographic is people over 70.
Yeah.
Yeah, people who are like, oh, I'm wondering about life insurance.
I will say this, though. Jeremy. If you're under 30, get life insurance because it's so much cheaper now.
All right, cool. Do you want to go to commercial?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. Cause I think we already did one, but yeah let's go to a commercial.
Today's episode of The Third Space is brought to you by books.
You know, books.
Yeah, they have a title page.
They have a beginning.
A middle.
And an end.
Yes, there's exposition.
And there's conflict.
And character development.
And if you're very, very lucky, multiple characters.
Yes.
Sometimes just one character.
Sometimes.
And there's words.
Sometimes the books are about real things.
Sometimes they're about fake things.
That's right.
Sometimes they're about a fake version of real things.
Sometimes they're comedy.
Sometimes they're tragedy.
Sometimes they're dramedy.
Sometimes they have, no wait, all the time, they have adverbs.
That's true.
And adjectives.
And perhaps a semicolon.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Books. Read one.
I really want to sing the Wishbone theme song.
I like how I kept on saying, sometimes if you're lucky, I'm like, no, wait, it always has those. Sometimes if you're lucky, multiple characters? No.
Yeah.
It always has multiple characters. Sometimes it has one character.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. I keep saying, if you're lucky.
I don't know.
Books, if you're lucky. That was dumb. That was a dumb one. I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
So, we have a world that is just terrible.
I don't know if it is that bad. Because here's the thing. They drop frequently. So that doesn't mean that there's a game on all the time.
That's true. Well,
and the cubes, I mean...
How big are they?
I can't think they'd be more than 20 city blocks.
So, because they could never take out a... They could envelop a town.
Yeah.
But, like, I think the
Dead
big
Man
thing...
Flats, a cube could take that shit out.
Right, we do have a town called Dead Man Flats.
Yeah, we do.
That is a...
Ominous name.
That's an ominous name for a town in Alberta.
Yep.
Dead Man Flats.
Yep.
Yeah, it could destroy Dead Man Flats.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what? Let's just say Dead Man Flats is already destroyed.
Okay.
Yeah, in this world, Dead Man Flats is dead.
Oh. Is it flat?
It is also flat. Wait, okay. Would these just like clear cut out a burned land?
I don't... The way I sort of see it is like an ashy... Like smoldering type thing.
Well, like would tree? Would you get like the sticks of trees?
I feel like it would be after a forest fire.
I'll tell you one thing. Pretty cool places to shoot.
What?
Like movies or stuff?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You're right. Yeah, it would be pretty cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
you know what? You know what? I think an unintended consequence of this that actually might be true. I think you might get more like apocalyptic movies.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Because the big thing about those is that it's kind of tough to shoot an apocalyptic movie in a place that's still standing.
Yep.
But if you have all these just ruined buildings and things just hanging around from, you know the game just destroying everyone.
Yep. You know, there'd be beasts in the ruins.
We should actually discuss that. We should discuss that.
Wait a second. These games are basically creating dungeons for people to delve into. There's monsters. There's
monsters.
Ruins.
Yeah.
There's probably some sort of treasure.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there'll be like a law set up that they become scavenger areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're full of monsters.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did want to spend a little bit talking about that because we talked a lot about the games themselves.
Yeah.
But the repercussions of the games is what they send there. They create monsters called nulls.
Yeah.
So we are literally talking about when these games end, and if it goes wrong,
it ended badly.
Like, I think you can actually tell when it ends badly. Show them a few times where it turns black, and then goes back up.
Yeah.
When the other time it goes whoop 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 whoop, and it goes back to the sky, and they're like,
"Yay! Everyone's still alive."
So all these vigils that are standing around, do you think when they're like, "Oh please, please," and then goes black, and everyone's like, shit, run!
Yeah, yeah.
Evacuate, evacuate!
How many people were in that cube? How many nulls are we dealing with here? We're dealing with a mass null outbreak.
Bruh! I am literally just imagining just monsters from sci-fi and fantasy.
Yeah, there'd be
like
Godzilla.
Dead Space style.
Although I think the representation of nulls in Reboot... was like eels.
They're kind of like the eel, but I
because in one of the movies there was that character that was entirely made of the eels.
Yeah, and well, in Hexadecimal, I think likes to like play with eels.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Megabyte crushes one at one point. I don't have any big indications of Reboot. Just small little moments and scenes.
Yeah,
like, there's one point where I think Enzo goes into a bunch of screens, like when they're chasing Hexadecimal, he falls down through screens.
Maybe.
And then he's like creating screens for Dot to run on or something.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a weird show.
It is a weird show.
It's a weird show.
It is a really good show, though.
So you'd have the people who are supposed to go in the games, and everyone has to be prepared to go in the games.
Yeah.
But then you also have people whose job is to essentially deal with these nulls.
Yeah.
And you know what? I know, once again, no research, but... Yeah. This is actually important. I need to see what nulls look like.
I'm pretty sure they look like those eels.
But, I mean, that doesn't seem that scary. And I think the big thing is they're supposed to be...
Well, I think they, like, when they touch stuff, they... what's the word? It's a computer word that they use.
They say the nulls nullify.
Yeah, they nullify other things, right? So it's like a zombie apocalypse spreading.
What?
Because if the nulls have been nullified, right... but nulls nullify other things. It's just making more nulls all the time.
Yeah, so what it says is that, yeah, they're the small slug-like things. Yeah, they're those, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It says one individual nulls are no real threat, but large gatherings or swarms of them are extremely lethal and can easily overwhelm a city's defenses.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're energy draining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're leeches, basically.
Yeah. Well,
they're giant leeches.
Yeah, if you remember, they're big.
They're big.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm looking up information about Hexadecimal has a great deal of control over nulls, possibly due to her origin.
Huh.
Like Megabyte, she also looked upon the null of Wellman Matrix as a father figure. Hexadecimal would occasionally use nulls to attack others, causing the city's many nulls to swarm in mass numbers, overwhelming entire armies. I don't remember there being armies in Reboot.
Apparently there are.
Wow. Apparently, okay.
Apparently Reboot's hardcore.
Yeah. So are we talking about, like, if we're going with the games, then we would have to say that people become nulls. They become those giant slugs.
Yeah.
I kind of wish they became, like, Dead Space-style monsters.
Or Godzilla.
But what we're talking about is just, like many, many of these just electrifyingly energy-draining touch nulls.
Yeah.
Which is still pretty freaky.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, you're like, you were my brother, and it's just like,
why are you not anymore? Also, the name of all, they're not humans, they're sprites.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the sprite becomes the null.
Yeah.
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 I'm getting all these memories coming back up about Reboot. This is a good episode just to reminisce about
good
Reboot.
Good nostalgia episode.
So, what we're going to end up with is that when there's a bunch of people there, you end up with just hordes upon hordes of these slug type things.
Yeah, I mean, it depends where the cubes drop. Like, if a cube drops in the middle of Tokyo and it fails, there's a whole shitload.
There's
of
a
nulls.
Lot of nulls.
There's a lot of nulls. But, you know, if it falls on Dead Man's Flats, okay, there's 20 of them.
and then they get eaten by, like, wolves or something.
Well, I don't know, because they drain the wolves' energy.
That's true.
Like, how do you beat something that drains energy? It, like, drains life force, right?
Well, I mean, you'd have to hit with something that doesn't have life in it, like a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you'd need a tool.
Like a hammer.
So I feel like animals would not do so well.
Animals will not do so well.
Yeah.
Wait, so would that mean that they would also, like, kill trees and stuff?
Yeah, I guess so.
So it's not just they would land and destroy that area as
they
spread out. They're leaving these trails of just decay.
That's why you need suppression teams.
You know what? A gritty reboot of Reboot would do very well. Wait, no, the gritty reboot of Reboot was when Enzo became...
Yeah,
yeah.
They did it themselves.
They rebooted themselves.
That's right.
I forgot because in the first ones they had that introduction by Bob.
Yeah.
And then it became Enzo saying it.
Yep.
Reboot did their own gritty reboot.
Of Reboot.
Of Reboot.
Reboot.
Reboot. Eventually they'll be rebooting Reboot.
Yeah.
Into Reboot, the Guardian Code.
Yeah.
Reboot.
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 Beep boop.
Oh man, I know you said that this world seemed like terrible. It does seem really, really bad.
Yeah,
because you're constantly having literally life draining entropy slugs.
Yeah,
just hanging around, and you're right. It does entirely depend on where it drops. There is a balance there, because if it does drop in the middle of Tokyo, which I mean, it's a 20-foot block
cube,
it would drop over a lot of Tokyo.
Yeah.
You have a lot of people in there fighting against it.
Yeah, it's that the more people that are in there, the more likely you are to succeed.
Yeah. I mean, some may die and they would become nulls.
Well, no, because I think there are times in the game because there are the citizens of Mainframe that get caught in the games with Bob.
Okay, so like,
right?
as long as
the game is like finished,
those
people are okay at the end.
Okay, so just having a mass of people essentially just meat shielding their way through through a game.
No, like action movies, Kevin, would be the cube drops on New York.
And one person is there.
No, and like there's a ton of people.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then like, because you could have so much collateral damage.
But it's fine in the end.
But it's fine because if the hero beats the game, everything's okay. Whereas horror movies would be like you're out camping and a cube drops and there's like five people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Though, once again, if they win, no collateral damage.
Yeah.
It is funny how, like, and even if the people who go in there and are, you know, their job is to do is to, like, beat the game. Collateral damage doesn't mean too much to them.
Nope.
Because as long as they win, like it's one thing where in this world the ends always justify the means.
Yeah.
Because the end of the game winning means that everyone's fine.
It's true, but here's the thing. Usually when they're in the game in reboot,
yeah,
like you don't know the objective of the game.
Oh yeah,
you have to figure it out.
The objective of the game is don't kill anyone.
Yeah.
Bah!
You lose. And that's a whole shitload of nulls.
But no one will ever know what you did wrong.
No, because there's no way of looking into the game.
No.
Although I'm sure people would be developing something to try and do that.
Yeah, but I'm sure the cubists will be like, no, we must let God. We must let the cube. No, it's not never God. It's always the cube. We must let the cube.
Don't play cube, Kevin.
Don't play cube. All hail the cube.
And we've already established that animals are in these.
Yeah.
So if you're in the wilderness and it drops and there's a moose in your game.
It's just you and a moose.
You are fucked.
All right, moose. You don't like me and I don't like you. But let's we got to
work together. That's a comedy.
So you're riding through on a moose.
Honestly, moose are kind of unstoppable. Like, if you were going to take all the X-Men characters and put them into animal form, what would the Juggernaut be? It would be a moose.
It would be a moose. Wait, why would you do that? That's a weird thing
to
do.
Why wouldn't you do that?
I mean, no.
The internet would eat up that shit.
Cyclops is a bunny.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Wolverine's, you know.
A Wolverine. Wolverine's a cat.
Yeah. Like a house cat.
Like a house cat.
Not an ocelot.
No, a house cat.
Perfect.
Screw you, Wolverine. You're tiny.
But fierce.
Colossus is a metal bear.
Yeah.
This is a fun side adventure we went on.
I think this is another topic maybe sometime.
It's dumb.
Put it on the list.
A dumb show. It's a dumb show.
It would, you know what? It'd probably do super well.
Maybe. All right, I'll cut this out. No one will ever know that we talked about it. It'll be a surprise next time. Ha-ha. I'll probably remember to do that.
No, you won't.
No, I won't. All right, so let's wrap up this world. Let's give a summary on.
Here's the thing with the nulls.
Yeah.
Because that's what we were sort of talking about before we got off track.
Yeah.
Animals can become nulls, too.
Yeah.
So if something drops in the ocean, you can bet it's probably going to hit some animal life.
Yeah, and especially considering how deep it goes.
Right, and nulls should be able to survive in any environment. They're not shown to have any weaknesses, really.
You just have a boat sitting aside the cube. Well, when it rises up, just all these slugs rise to the surface. Like, aw, shit.
Yeah.
Then flamethrower.
Well, not only that, like, beaches would be dangerous places because you never know when a null's going to show up.
We never know when a null wave is going to show up.
Yeah.
Because it's like the red tide when the algae comes in.
Yeah.
Except for it's nulls.
Yeah.
Just
like fishing,
entropy slugs.
Fishing would be super dangerous.
Everything's a dangerous catch.
Because also these nulls in the ocean are nullifying other ocean creatures.
Oh, man. The ocean would be dead.
The ocean would be super deadly.
I mean, it also might be dead.
Yeah, it might be dead. It depends how widespread it is.
Well, it also depends. I mean, what we've seen is the nulls, when they're alive, they entropy things, but maybe they're edible.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe you kill one and you eat it, you get all the energy back.
Maybe. Maybe they're like super energy bars. You just have to kill it and then eat it.
Eat a null bar! Get some energy!
Made from the deceased remains of all your friends and family!
Yeah! Null bar!
I think you maxed out the mic there.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Yeah.
100%. 100%, I shouted right into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you are right. Null bars are made from friends and family, but sometimes animals, you can't tell.
And, you don't know.
And that's how it gets through legislation.
Yeah, null bars are Soylent Green.
But once again, you can't prove that was a person.
That's true, I can't.
It could have been an animal.
I can't. It's just been broken down to its base components.
At this point, nulls aren't people, but there are probably pro-null parties.
Oh, yeah.
That are like, you can't kill nulls.
The spirit of my sister's in that null. You can't kill it.
Touch it. Touch the null.
Touch the null. Okay. Okay. Ah!
You're dumb.
You're dumb.
You're a dumb person. Now eat that null. It's delicious. Gives you full energy.
Whoa, I just realized there'd be a black market on nulls if that's what happened if you ate them.
What, gave you energy?
It gave you life force.
Oh, wait. Are we literally talking about, like you eat a null, you get the energy, you live forever?
Maybe.
Holy crap! This world just changed.
Yeah.
Because you eat... Because you're right. If what nulls do is they take energy into them.
Yeah.
If you eat them and you get the energy back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go faster. You fight stronger. You live longer.
Yeah, because you have more life energy.
You are literally consuming life energy.
Yeah.
Everyone becomes a vampire. Nulls make you live forever. The rich live forever.
Yep.
They become highly sought after medical ingredients. There'd be things where they'd be like, hey, there was these what did we decide to call them? Game chasers.
Yeah.
There were these game chasers. There's only a kilometer away. Why couldn't they make it to the game in time? That's because corporations paid them off to not go in the game to get more nulls into them.
Yeah.
There'd be conspiracies abounding.
Yep.
This world has become so much crazier.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and yeah, there'd be medical research into it, but you don't want to do that too much because the rich want to keep the nulls themselves.
Yeah,
this is pirate radio going on right now, telling you about how the rich are hoarding all the nulls for themselves so they can live forever.
Yep,
you are curious why. What's a bad rich person? I'm going to have to say Donald Trump, but it wasn't Donald Trump. Donald Trump!
Sega.
Sega! Why the owner of Sega? Wait, no.
No.
What do you say Donald Trump? Don't you wonder why Donald Trump's 143? Because he consumes nulls!
He literally is Skeletor at that point.
I mean, he has life force. Yeah. When he eats, he goes back to normal. But when he doesn't consume a null, at least once a day, he like withers up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Holy shit!
I just blew your mind, Kevin.
This world blew my mind. I love when things come out in the last like 10 minutes of the podcast. And I'm like, oh crap! Now I know that you can't know this, listener, but. If you listen to the beginning and you're like, it's kind of slow, it gets awesome at the end. Because we have created a world of full of conspiracy and wonder and people trying to like hoard these nulls. But also the nulls are people. So there's like,
they're dangerous too. Yeah.
You have people whose jobs are going there and getting nulls and to like destroy them. But
people would liquefy nulls and shoot that shit up like drugs.
Yeah, that's what sports people do. Athletes. They're called athletes.
Sports people.
Athletes.
Sports people.
That's what they do. They inject themselves with pure null, and all of a sudden, they're running like a crazy man. And they're trying to be like, oh, unfortunately, null only stays in your system for a day.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure we do those drug tests immediately.
Immediately.
And but we haven't found 100% way of... Sorry, the dog just popped up and started pawing at you.
Sup, dog?
But we haven't found 100% way of how to you know.
Look, I'm distracting you, dog.
How to protect?
Keep talking, Kevin. I'm distracting the dog.
You're distracting me too. We haven't found 100% way to detect all these drugs that are in someone's system. Now that's one way the world would go. What if the world embraced this?
Well, tell me what would happen, Kevin.
Well, then you'd have just super people everywhere, just drinking nulls and being strong.
Yeah.
And like you.
And they would just leave prisoners in games.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it would be terrible. Holy shit! And that's how you end an episode.
Sure.
Yeah.
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 If you liked what you heard, especially those last 10 minutes. Please give us a review and a subscription on iTunes.
Yes, a 5-star rating is very helpful to us.
That's correct.
And the reviews is really what like helps bump us up. So
helps the podcast grow. So please do that.
Yeah, and if you put down a review, we'll probably say your name.
We will.
Yeah, you get your name said. That's cool.
Say my name.
You can also contact us on Twitter. The Twitter for the podcast is @ThirdSpaceCast.
Or you can tweet us individually. Mine is @MightyThews.
And mine's @StrawmanKWeir.
You can email us at third space, no, the third, thirdspacepodcast@gmail.com.
There you go.
There we
and
go.
You could check out our website at thirdspacepodcast.com.
That's correct.
I take a little bit of a separation here from what
just
we
just one second.
Just one second. Oh, all right.
Our theme song is Balrog Boogie by the Diabolus Swing Orchestra. Okay,
go.
You
should remember that. I just said something that I wanted to ask you because I was thinking about Twitter. If you are like talking about like you know you spent time let's say at my place, how would you type that on Twitter? Using my Twitter handle, you wanted to say that you were hanging out with me.
Oh, I was at K-Man Straw Weir.
Straw Man K-Weir. Doesn't really matter.
I was at your Twitter handle, chilling at his house.
So you do at, like, I was at Straw Man K-Weir.
No, I there's only one at.
So you...
See, your dog agrees with me.
No, you're wrong. You have to put the at, or else what you're saying is I was Kevin Weir.
Yeah. Well, I was, and then you put the at symbol.
No, but the at symbol is part of the name.
Yeah, but I mean, I just read it as at.
Yeah, but that's saying a different thing.
Yeah, but I don't want it to be like at. I don't want it to be an subliminal advertisement for AT&T.
Well,
not a sponsor.
Or make people think of at-ats from Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, does that mean that if you're just saying, That you see it as, like, if you said just, like hi, Mighty Thews. You see that as, hi, at Mighty Thews?
Yeah, I do. That's just the way I read it. I know that's not people's intention, but it's the way I read it.
No, I always do the at. I was at Mighty Thews. I was at Jeremy's, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay. Join us next week on The Third Space when we celebrate every single December holiday all at once.
I'm talking about Kwanzaa. I'm talking about Hanukkah. I'm talking about Santa Claus. I'm talking about Christmas. I'm talking about the pagan holidays.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Tremas. I'm talking about Candle Nights. I'm talking about Snow on the Ground Day.
What's that Seinfeld one?
I'm talking about Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay. We'll celebrate Jerry Seinfeld. See you next week.
God bless you, Jerry Seinfeld. God bless you, everyone.